Hey, I'm Stella, and welcome to the Block 101 podcast, where you'll find the brightest minds and projects of the emerging tech industry. Today, I have the pleasure to speak with Jaden Sage. Jaden is the founder and CEO of the Global Crypto Council. He's a Wall Street mathematician with experience in the blockchain industry since 2011. He's known around the world as the Crypto OG, Crypto Dinosaur, and Crypto Superstar. Let's dive in. Hi, Jaden. How are you today?
I'm good, Stella. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So I was really, really looking forward to this interview because I think that a lot of people already know what Web3 is and Metaverse is, but Web4 and Web5 are not so much talked about. And I think that this is something that you can definitely bring a lot of light on. So yeah, let's get started. How would you define Web4 and Web5? And I think for that, we will obviously need to go back to Web1, Web2, Web3, just briefly, but mostly Web4 and Web5. What's your definition for these?
Yeah, so Web1 is the birth of the internet and everything that is associated with .com. Web 2.0 was the social element. I mean, there are other side elements that come into Web 2.0, especially like, you know, commerce kind of hung out in one and two. It got better defined in two. So you had the commerce element come in somewhere at 1.5 internet. Web 1.5 was where the commerce component came in. And then in two, we've got the social element coming in. So that was also a part of two, and it matured in two. Three, as you know, we had the social. Humanity showed up in a big way and started interacting on a platform. Like, humanity is interacting on planet Earth in the Fizzyverse. Then they started interacting with each other online on another artificial or digital platform. So you had two components coming. You had the commerce component and you had the human component coming. Three is the additional added value of a trustless environment where a ledger-based system facilitates you to have better accounting. So you have better systems built with blockchain that allow human interaction and mostly human commerce to occur and be quantified and classified and be traceable. So that's Web3. So and we're just in Web3 at this moment, right?
Yeah, like, we're just getting started, and yet we start talking about Web4 and Web5. What's wrong with Web3? What's insufficient in Web3 at the moment, and why are we already looking forward to Web4 and 5?
Yeah, there is actually no distinct disadvantage in Web3. Think of it more like a train that's stopping at different stations, and each station just allows you to do more. So Web1 was, you know, a station, Web2 was a station, Web3 is a station, and then Web4 will be the next station. It's bringing more confluence of factors and more technology and greater human understanding and adaptability to come in to become a part of it. So inherently, without Web3, you can't have Web4. You couldn't jump from Web2 to Web4. So Web3 gives birth to Web4. So what is Web4? Web4 would be when you have augmented reality. Now, augmented reality utilized on a large scale will actually look a lot different than what we currently see with augmented reality. You put on some goggles and all of a sudden you're in another environment. But augmented reality will give us the power of information that we currently don't possess. So when we're walking, I know this is like a new term, it's a little techie, Fizzyverse or the environment, our natural environment. I kind of want to still stick with the natural environment rather than nerd out on the Fizzyverse. But like the natural world, if you're moving around, you have access to data mostly because you're staring down at your phone, probably at the expense of your personal safety when you're crossing a street. But most people are like looking into their phone for data, but that still doesn't allow you information about your environment. So if you're walking and you're engaged and you see you see some amazing monument. You don't know nothing about it. Maybe you'll read the plaque underneath. But in the future, Web 4.0 will facilitate far more than that plaque. That was humanity's hack in the physical world to provide you some information of this landmark that you're looking at. But when you have Web 4.0, you will actually just, you know, look at that item and all this information will pop up. And that information will allow you to know everything you wanted to know and then some about that landmark. So think about that example. How much can you put on a plaque? Maybe the date that this person lived and what they did, but you couldn't really get more of what made them who they were. But if you're standing in front of it and you have augmented reality, you could actually stand there for 15 minutes and know everything about that person's dynamic or that situation that they were caught in that warranted them having this landmark here or a statue here. So that's the next level information. Now, there's other ways to capture that. There's other benefits of capturing that information because you will be able to be safer if you're in an environment that's not safe. Like, you know, this example I use often is like if you're going hiking and you see a point in your hike where it's dangerous, you can actually see the feedback from other people and say whether it's safe for you to cross. You're at a beach, it's Australia, and you're like, I wonder if there's sharks or blue ring octopuses that'll kill me in a millisecond. So, you know, is this safe? You don't know right now. You just go in. Even with everything we have in Web3 and all of our powers that humanity likes to think that we are unstoppable, you can literally walk in and get bitten by a shark or poisoned by an octopus like that. So when you have augmented reality, you can instantly check the feedback that this particular point, not this beach, this particular point is where most people get stung by blue ring octopuses. So please don't go in, or people are saying, yeah, you know, they're whatever. The point is that that feedback will allow you to make way better decisions. And that is actually the information jumping off the digital world and effectively coming in to the physical world in ways to help you beyond our wildest imagination. And that is exactly why it has to be classified as a separate web. It cannot be part of 3 because it will fundamentally change out how we interact with our environment.
Okay, so Web3 would be more, Web4 would be more focused on helping us interacting with our physical environment. And it's actually an interesting definition that you give, because from what I thought before was that the Web4 would help us achieve a higher level of decentralization. But it doesn't seem to be something that you see happening in Web4, at least. Or am I wrong?
No, not at all. No. Decentralization is a train that's already left the station.
Okay.
I mean, you know, decentralization is permeating society, much like many other things that humanity likes. Like, we like touchscreens. So, you know, we found ways to incorporate touchscreens, not just in our phones and in our laptops or whatever, but we put touchscreens on our thermostats, on our air conditioners, on anything that we needed a screen, bam, we hit it with a touchscreen. So decentralization is like that level technology where it's just going to continue to permeate anything and everything that we can decentralize, we're going to decentralize.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like Web3 right now is decentralized? Because the criticism that Jack Dorsey was giving about Web3 is that it was being kind of taken over by VCs and it was not that decentralized. So do you think that it's something that we will see differently in Web4 and Web5?
We will see, look at decentralization. Decentralization, let's say, started at 30% before blockchain. There was 30% decentralization in society, believe it or not. With blockchain, you went to 40, 50, 60, 70. And as we progress, decentralization will continue to grow as it continues to permeate, but it'll never achieve 100%. So you will always have somebody say, rightfully, that decentralization doesn't fully exist. Absolutely. It's kind of like saying a perfect democracy doesn't exist, or democracy really doesn't exist. Well, you're kind of right, because there's a lot of like ways that people skirt it and it goes sideways, intended or unintended consequences. So decentralization suffers from the same, or not suffers, but has the same dynamic, where we're going to get closer and closer to 100%, but we're never actually going to achieve it. But the more we move forward in decentralization, the more society and humanity's lives will get better.
I see. So it's not just a box that we can tick. It's more of a spectrum. Decentralization.
Correct. Absolutely.
And what about Web 5 now?
Right. So Web 5 is actually the ultimate test of humanity. Because up till 4, we're just going to party like a rock star, right? Like we're just going to keep chomping down. Like, just think of your favorite meal and you're just going to like keep eating it till you puke, right? So that's how we treat our technology. It's something, it's like, it's an addiction. Our technology now is an addiction.
It is.
And Metaverse will be the next level addiction. It's like an ice cream with a bunch of Snickers bars with whipped cream and then some sugar added on top. And we're just going to go to town. So that's up to Web 4. But like in Web 5, there'll be a day of reckoning. So let's just define Web 5 for a minute. So Web 5 will be actually us bifurcating our existence. Humanity's existence will get bifurcated into two realms, the physical world and the digital world. So you'll have a fizzyverse and a metaverse existence. Now, irrelevant of how many metaverses there'll be and how many different engagements you'll have in a metaverse, but your day, your mind, your consciousness, without getting spiritual, your regular consciousness will be split into two in addressing both sides, because you'll live in the physical world. You'll have friends in the physical world and you'll interact with them. But you'll, in the digital world, you'll have friends all over the world, and you will interact with them and they'll be your friends just in the metaverse. So you will be also not just your social engagement, but your economic engagement. Somebody could be living in a physical world and basically do nothing. So you know how like parents will complain that you're a bum, you need to go get a job, this and that. That person will continue to remain a bum for all intents and purposes in the physical world. But that person may be like this amazing entrepreneur in the metaverse because they make all their money from digital products. So that person would be actually nobody in the physical world, but in the metaverse, everybody knows who that person is. He or she's got an amazing avatar and they're widely known. So you will bifurcate your existence into two and interact with them accordingly.
I see. And so do you think this is something that we should look forward to? Because in my opinion, it looks rather scary that we kind of lose touch. So many people would lose touch with the physical world.
And that's why it's a day of reckoning. Because when we get to that point, first of all, the only solution is to walk hand in hand together. If humanity chooses to let a few lead, it will be an outcome where the few will benefit at the expense of the many. So humanity will have to walk or at least traverse Web 5.0 hand in hand together and be able to create some sort of barriers and boundaries in order for us to be able to function effectively. Now, the scary part, you're right, it is scary, but if we mitigate those risks by having a more decentralized approach, we should be okay. But the scary part comes from the fact that if we start disengaging full force with the physical world, because the metaverses or the digital world will be so much more engaging, and it's not for us, Stella. The problem is less for us than the future generations. Because if you're born in a world where the digital stimulation far exceeds the physical stimulations that you may experience in the physical world, then you may just choose to automatically relegate yourself to the digital world. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge where we may be like, okay, we're balancing this. I have real life friends, goddammit. But like, you know, there'll be people who are like, what real life friends? I would never even know how to interact with somebody. I just basically have all my existence in the metaverse. Have you heard I can fly in the metaverse? Can I fly in this world? I trip, fall, get hurt. Over there, I don't get hurt, even if I jump off a cliff. Now have an argument like that. You and I can have that argument because we're living in a world pre-Web 5. But the future, generations will just be born into that equation. So yes, it is a little bit of a challenge, can be scary, but we will, that's the day of reckoning. Can humanity not only enjoy that mental world that we have created, but at the same time, respect the world that we actually, our bodies actually reside in, and appreciate Mother Nature? Because the biggest challenge will be how we treat planet Earth. Think of it this way. We are practically, for all intents and purposes, we get a D plus, or maybe an F plus, as stewards of this planet. And now, when you take all these people and put them into a metaverse environment and a Web 5.0, these same people will even think less of the physical world. So you'll go from F plus to F minus.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest challenge.
I was reading your article on the Global Crypto Council website, where you talk about Web 4, and you kind of compare it to the Matrix in some aspect. And this is the part where I said that I'm scared of that world. Do you think that we will have, this is a very hypothetical question, we're going very far in the abstract things, but do you feel like this is something that we will have a choice to opt out from for those who want to, or do you see it as those who don't want to take part in this digital world will be left out somehow?
Right. Yeah. So before we answer that question, what you just said actually addresses what we were discussing earlier, that if we don't walk in hand, what will happen that the few will take advantage, like replace the robots in the Matrix to a few powers that be. So if you have a few powers that be, not necessarily that you'll be lying in some liquid goo and always connected to the internet, but something where it's not so grotesque, but some version of it where you're just lying in your bed all day and just basically engaging in a metaverse because that's where your world is. And then that opens up an opportunity. Actually, it opens up wide holes you can drive trucks through, force a few of us to take advantage of the many of us in order to put us in that state. So we need to be very cognizant of that and very aware of that situation occurring. So this is why we need to walk in together into that space. I'm sorry, I want to recapture the essence of your question. I kind of got lost in that one. So what were you trying to address in there?
I was trying to address the choice, the possibility of choosing. Do you think that, but this assuming that at some point the digital world will be taking precedence over the physical world, and that kind of battle that you're mentioning would be lost in a way.
I can answer that. Actually, you know what? That's a very deep question, Stella, but I can answer that very simply just by looking at where we are now. Exactly how long can you stay off of your phone if I took away your phone? How do you feel? If you take away the phone from anybody's hand, just look at their state, look at their physical, their facial gestures, and they'll be fine maybe for a few minutes, and then watch the anxiety start to build. You know, so this is, if that is an indication of whether you can disengage, it's gonna require a powerful set of self-control mechanisms in order for humanity to disengage. While I would love to, throw sunshine and sunflowers your way and butterflies and say, no, humanity will figure this out. Well, you know what? The past is a perfect indicator, not perfect, but a very accurate indicator of the future. And if currently the way we are projected to go based on where we're at, it's going to be quite a challenge for humanity to say, okay, I'm just disengaging.
And how long do you think before we get to this level? How many years do you give the humanity?
When is Armageddon? Let's go. I want to make sure my stocks are covered. we're living in a really retarded time, you know, because like I look back and I'm like, the other generations had it rough, but at least they had one thing after another come to them. I mean, we've got floods, pandemics, wars, economic depressions, everything hitting us. And now we have to worry about like, you know, meteors hitting us and maybe that's going to kill us. And now we have to worry about this too, that eventually we'll all wind up in a goddamn matrix. And I'm like, you know, I am Neo. I'm here to free you. Like, oh God, I've seen this movie before. Now we're living it. So it's going to be quite a disgusting challenge, right? Like, we're living in really, are we living in good times or the worst of times? I don't know. It's the best of times and the worst of times. Look, it's going to take a decade for, let's just massage the situation so we don't freak people out too much. Web 4.0 is going to take another decade, you know, because look, even blockchain, I mean, blockchain's been around for quite a while now, you know, more than a decade, obviously. And we're at this point of going from Web 2 to Web 3. So Web 4 is going to take another decade easy. And then it's going to take probably another 15, 20 years. 20 to 25 years from today, we'll be in the world of Web 5.0. And that's when we have these changes. But here's the hope part, because the hope part is if we start understanding some of those risks now, then we can start building the mitigations.
What I love the most, Jaden, about talking with you is the simplicity of the examples that you pick, because even if you're explaining very, very hard, difficult to understand, very abstract concepts, you always manage to find the perfect relatable example that applies to our day-to-day lives. So thank you very much for that. I think a part of that is because you spend so much time in the space. It's been, 11, 12 years already that you have experience in this industry. So what are the top three lessons that you could give based on everything that you've learned in those years?
That's an amazing question. I've never been asked.
If you had to sum up your experience of 11, 12 years of blockchain in three lessons.
Did it, not just one, three. Okay, so let's see. One is euphoria is good. When I first got into blockchain, people were quite euphoric. They didn't fully understand all of the different ways that blockchain helps them, but they were euphoric. So sometimes having a childlike euphoria is a good thing rather than talking yourself out of this. This goes way beyond blockchain. This goes into human existence where we tend to self-edit ourselves, self-edit our opportunities. So what I've seen in blockchain is that people were euphoric, hey, why are you here? I don't know, I just felt I needed to be here. I've actually heard that from many people. And it was quite interesting. It's like, wow, this is far more than just you trying to buy some Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever colored coin there was back in the day, which most people won't even know what the hell a colored coin is now, unless you're from back then. But so the euphoric nature or that childlike intrigue needs to be maintained in humanity. Humanity is losing that. Humanity is losing that magic. There was a time where a child can sit by a pond or a babbling brook and have amazing imaginatory journeys. We've taken that away. We've actually gutted humanity from such engagements. And that's why we suffer from so many things, physical ailments, depression, and all of the other things that come in that affect your health, and mental and physical. That's because we took away our connection to nature. But the bigger picture here, and going back to your question, is that maintain your euphoric nature for things because that's where the magic is. So that's one thing. The other thing is decentralization is something that cannot be stopped. The most comical component of this is when you have centralized businesses, authorities, and whatnot all profess to say, we're going to go blockchain too. So quick, get me some of this. They go to their people and say, quick, give me some of this blockchain and let's see if we can incorporate it into our business. They need to pause and recognize that there is no way for centrality to exist on top of decentrality. You can't get a little bit pregnant and be, at a place where you're trying to fool people. People will get it, this isn't decentralized. It's centralized authority with a little bit of decentralization peppered in to hopefully keep you still locked in to the current matrix, which is what we are living in, of a world where the many are not controlled but directed by the few. So that's the other thing, where decentrality is not a train that you can stop. So that's the other lessons. You need a third one. Let's see, what's a big third ramification? Is that it's the continuous, ridiculous amount of money to be made in this environment. Because once we have NFTs, once we have, we're having empowerment of so many different people who really had no engagement and never had opportunities like this. Like, think of, you know the term starving artist? In a few years, the term starving artist won't exist. It'll just be artists or very successful artists or this amazing artist. We will actually have taken away the word starving from artists. Think about that. We live in a world where somebody who was creative suffered for their creativity. While we engaged and enjoyed their art, they suffered for their art. No longer. We are going into a world where we will actually be celebrated, empowered, and economically sustained for our creative endeavors.
Thank you very much, Jaden, for your advice. This was amazing. Thank you so much. I could stay for hours listening to you, but this has come to an end. What is the best way for our listeners to follow up with your work?
They can find me on Twitter, Jaden_Sage, and follow me there.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to have you on the AABC podcast. I hope you had fun.
I did. It was fantastic. You asked some questions that haven't been asked, so that was cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and have an amazing day.